Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Mail. My name is Alan Gygax, and I am here with Michael Brazemley.
Hi everyone.
All right, and today we are going to do something a little more lighthearted because all of this... Oh, it's still running in the background.
Yeah.
There we go. All of this election stuff, it's so serious, and there's so much going on. So we're going to give you a more fun episode. We're going to tell some stories about being letter carriers. And the only thing we ask for you in return is to fucking vote. If you're in Branch 2502, yeah. If you know anybody in Branch 2502, we just need the turnout. We need people to vote.
Tell your other carriers and friends that's in Las Vegas to vote.
Yeah, spread the word. Send a text message.
If you got voting going on in your own city.
Yeah, you should vote there too. Absolutely, yeah. Right, vote in your branch elections. It is definitely important. And the turnout is usually low enough that your vote... It matters.
Yes,
you know,
it does.
Especially if you can spread the word, get a few people to vote along with you. All right. So with that out of the way, I don't think that I have told my Chihuahua pepper spray story on the podcast before.
I think you did, but that was like a year ago.
Maybe. All right. Well, I'm going to start with this one anyway. And if you've already heard it, feel free to skip ahead like 2 minutes. So I was delivering Park and Loop. And, you know, it's funny because a lot of my stories center around going to the bathroom. But I was delivering Park and Loop, and I was finishing up a neighborhood, and I really had to pee. I do think I've told this on the pod before. Mm-hmm. But whatever. Skip ahead 2 minutes if you've already heard it. The next one will be good, too. And I have to make a decision. Like, am I going to do this last Park and Loop, or am I going to break off right now and go to the bathroom, and then, you know, I can come back to the route? And I decide that as soon as I finish this street, I'm going to go to the next neighborhood. And in between, I'm going to pass like a Jack in the Box or something where I can go to the bathroom. So I'm going to go ahead and do this street. So I'm walking down the even side of the street. I get all the way to the far end of the street. And that house, the last house before I come back, has a dog warning card. And it lets me know that they have this pit bull that's attacked the carrier. And I know that anyway because I'm the one who wrote that dog warning card because I had already been attacked there before. Michael, how many times have you been attacked by dogs?
Never.
That's crazy. It's the benefit of being on all the cluster boxes and doing like centralized delivery your whole career.
And no parking loops.
And no parking loop. Yeah, parking loop is where almost all of my, not all, but almost all of my dogs.
Because you're coming to their door.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You're invading the dog's territory. So on that note, the mailbox right next to the front door at the end of the driveway and going up the driveway. Oh my God, I just thought of another. I got to hold on, listeners. So anyway, I just had to make a note of the next story that I got to tell you guys because, oh, I am stupid. All right. So anyway, the mailbox is right next to the front door and the front door is open. So knowing what I know now, you just skip that house. Like, come on, don't be stupid. You skip the house. But I didn't do that at the time. We used to have this mantra, every piece, every day. And so I'm like, well, I got to at least try to deliver. And surely they wouldn't have the dog in the living room if, like, if the door was open, that'd be crazy. So I go up and I'm really quiet and I put the mail in the box and then I'm coming back down the driveway. And that's when I hear the skittering of nails coming down the driveway behind me. And at the time, I still have it around, but I was getting attacked by dogs so often that I actually carried bear spray. And so I turn around, ready with my bear spray, and it's a Chihuahua. It's not the pit bull, thank God. I probably would have peed my... Because remember, I had to pee. That's what set this whole thing up. It's a Chihuahua, so thank God. So I put my bear spray away, and I go to continue delivering the route, and this Chihuahua is so aggressive and will not leave me alone. You know, just today at my station, we actually had a house cut off for a Chihuahua, and now they have to move their mailbox out to the street because... Dog. All right. So anyway, so this Chihuahua won't leave me alone. And every time I turn my back, he's trying to bite at my ankles and it's the pits. And, you know, I try like kicking at him and he dodges out of the way and I don't really want to kick him and I really got to pee and I just want to be left alone. And then I remember that I have Chihuahua pepper spray, the halt that the pepper spray gives us, that stuff's like useless. And so this is perfect for a Chihuahua. So I take out that pepper spray and I go to spray the dog, and the can is so old that like half of the spray just pours out over the top and like all over my hand. And then this little gentle, I mean, you guys have all sprayed the spray. You know that just like this little arc thin stream comes out, and the Chihuahua easily dodges out of the way, and it was totally useless. And so I put it away and I go to keep delivering the mail. And I try kicking at the dog again, and he dodges out of the way. And again, it's like a half-hearted kick. I'm not really trying to punt this Chihuahua. And then I try like mule kicking at him so that maybe he doesn't see it coming. And that's when I notice that the Chihuahua is always dodging in the same direction. And I think, aha, I am smarter than the Chihuahua. I'm going to get this little bastard. So I take out the spray again, and I go to spray the Chihuahua. And this time I lead him off to the left a little bit. And of course, the can still like leaks all over my hand. But this time, that little gentle arc of pepper spray hits the Chihuahua right on his nose. And I get that little bastard. And this Chihuahua just licked his nose and kept on coming. Didn't even slow him down. So you figure Chihuahuas are probably bred to handle the hot and spicy. He's like, I get table scraps hotter than that. Blah, blah, blah. And he would not leave me alone. I had to pee so bad. Finally, I pick up a rock. And I throw the rock at the Chihuahua. And I don't hit him. But he finally gets the idea, and he runs back to the house. Oh, thank God. I get back to the truck, and I can finally pee. And it's while I'm peeing that I am suddenly reminded that my hand is totally covered in pepper spray. Chihuahua got the last laugh on that one. That one burned the whole rest of the day. Good times.
I have a story.
All right, yeah, go for it, man.
From, you know, my...
I need a laugh track.
from Derek.
Okay. Yep. You're a campaign advisor and candidate for treasurer. Yep.
Well. And anyway.
There's the dog right there. That's Annie. Yeah.
That's Annie loves Michael. He's doing the park and loop.
Yes.
And so he's every day. There's a dog that's not on a leash. No. Always comes after him. You know. And then when he tries to chase after or try to spray, it would run back. So it's a large dog. So you can't chase it. And plus it's going back into the yard or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Every single, and then she's told the customers, please put your
dog away. Restrain your dog. Yeah.
And because the dog is not on a leash. So one day he was like, you know what? I'm done with this.
All right.
And so he knows that the dog will turn around and run back as soon as he, you know, kind of like looks like he's going to chase it. Right.
Right.
So he decided this time as the dog turned around and grabbed the pepper spray, sprayed his asshole. Okay. And so the dog was dragging its ass on the front yard the whole time, crying. Okay. And needless to say that the dog never chased him again after that.
Oh my God, dude, that's great. I've definitely never heard that story, and that's never occurred to me. That's so good, dude. Because you got those mucous membranes and they're just a set. Oh my God, yeah. Dude, that's awesome. Dude, well done, Michael.
From what I'm told by Derek, that his customers look at him with a glare, I hate you look. But what can they do? You know, they let this dog let out every time without a leash.
Right. Yeah. That is so great, dude. I'm really glad you told that one. That's really good. So the dumb one that I thought about earlier is, again, it's a dog incident. And I used to deliver to this house that had an incredibly aggressive German Shepherd. It was a big German Shepherd, definitely over 100 pounds. And this dog was really wanted to kill me bad. And so the way the house was set up is there's a carport, and like you go down the carport, and the front door is on the right. Straight ahead is a pass-through gate to the backyard. And then to the left, at like the end of the carport, is like a shed. And then on the other side of the shed, further to the left, is a fence, just like a chain link fence, like a 4-foot fence. And every day that I come up to deliver the mail, because the mailbox is right by this pass-through gate, the German Shepherd comes up and like bang, bang, bangs on this pass-through gate, which is also chain link, and tries to kill me through the pass-through gate. So every time that I'm putting the mail in this box, my eyes are glued to the latch on that pass-through gate, because if it ever gives way, I'm cooked, you know, or heaven forbid it's not latched one day, the German Shepherd hits it, like, dude, it's scary. And then after I deliver the mail and I walk to the left to go to the next house, then the dog runs over to the chain link fence and barks at me from there. But the dog won't jump over the chain link fence because the top of the fence is unfinished. And so it's like they didn't curl the spikes back over at the top of the chain link. And so it's all spiky. So the dog will run up, but he doesn't really put his feet on the spikes. And so he won't jump over the fence. And so this is every day this is happening. And that dog wants to kill me. So one day I come walking up to the house and I can see that on the chain link fence, the homeowners have laid a carpet across the top of the fence. At the, you know, the, presumably like they clean the carpet and they're laying it out there to dry or something like that. And you probably already know in your head what's going to happen because that carpet is over the top of the fence. But my dumb ass does the same thing I do every day. I go up, I put the mail in the box, and it's at that point that I realize, oh, what's going to happen next is going to be bad. And so I put the mail in a box. The dog is at the pass-through gate trying to kill me. And then I like head fake to the left. And so the dog immediately goes running off to that direction. And when he gets to that fence, he puts his paws up on the fence. And he's like, oh, this isn't spiky today. And immediately he's over the fence and coming at me to kill me. And like, how do I not see this coming? So luckily, there was a car in like an SUV in the carport. And so I was able to climb up on top of the SUV and just sit up there. And the dog's circling around. He can't climb up there to get me. But the carport has like limited visibility. I can't see around the house. I can't see what's going on. And so once the dog disappears, I have no idea where this dog is. And so I had a cell phone. So I wound up calling the station and telling my supervisor what happened and telling him that, dude, you're going to have to come out here and tell me that the dog's not there because I ain't coming down and getting eaten. And he thinks I'm being ridiculous, but eventually he agrees to come out. And once he gets out to me, the story has expanded because I called animal control and they're like, eh, we'll send somebody out. But they never do, or they, you know, they take their time because by the time they get there, the dog's always gone. And so there's not a lot of urgency. Well, it turned out that in the time from when I called to when the supervisor got to me, that dog had run down the street and gone to another carrier's route and tried to attack another carrier. And so that carrier also called animal control. And with two carriers, now that put a fire under him. And thank God it did, because when animal control came out, that dog was at the elementary school. Yeah.
Oh, that's not good.
No, that is not good. And luckily they were able to corral the dog and, you know, and no kids got eaten. But dude, yeah, that is no joke. And I feel like the dog would have eventually jumped over the gate anyway with that carpet there, but I did not help matters. You know, I mean, knowing what I know now, like, don't even walk down that street. You know, don't take those chances. Good times.
Well, so I have a story on involving management.
Okay.
Okay. So I think I might have told it. I can't remember.
All right.
But it was when I first started working at my station. And my supervisor decided that always going to, you know, try to make me do the route in 8 hours. And I was a T6, so
right.
I was doing multiple routes. And so for 5 days in a row that I'm doing, that was all my first day.
Right.
Well, one of the routes, she decided that she's going to follow me. Okay.
Okay.
And so she's following me. And what's funny is that as I'm walking with the hamper and so forth, and I'm laughing, smiling.
Sure, because you know, like, you know how to do your route, and you don't have to fear management, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And so what was funny is all the carriers are looking at me like, God damn, this guy's crazy. Why is he laughing, you know, smiling?
Yeah, that's right? Why, because you are crazy.
Because, you know, everybody else is all intimidated, and here's me. I didn't give a shit, right? And so she follows me, and then throughout the whole day, everything is loaded up, and she goes, all right, everything's loaded up, so you need to go. Now you can leave. I said, sure. So I left. 30 minutes later, okay. I show back up.
Okay.
And she's like, what are you doing here? Oh, well, I don't know how to get through the gate because I don't have a key to get through the gate. What do we don't have a key? Well, I don't have the arrow key to, you know, to open the gate. You told me to leave without the key, so I can't get in.
That's awesome.
Do you think maybe I should get a key? And then she's like, you did that on purpose. No, I just followed your instructions.
Dude, malicious compliance. It's my favorite. I absolutely love it. That's so great, dude.
And then I said, I need another 96, please, because I have to add another 30 minutes.
Yeah. Dude, that's so great. Oh, my God. Yeah, I remember when I was first a steward back at the Paradise Valley Station, I was an alternate steward. I knew absolutely nothing. This is like 15 years ago. And there was a big, scary dude who was a carrier at that station. He was like, you know, would wear like the jean jacket and the combat boots and had a shaved head. And he was a big, scary dude. And he and the station manager would get into it pretty intensely, yelling at each other. And dude, it was like, it was scary for me because I'm not a conflict kind of guy. And so one time the station manager yells at the carrier that you have to stay in your case unless and until I excuse you from your case, that you were to stay in your case and that's it. And then a couple minutes later, the station manager comes by the case and the dude's not in there and he blows his top and he's like, that's it. Gigax, I want you to witness this. So-and-so is not in his case and I am suspending him emergency suspension because of failure to follow instructions. Well, it turned out that the dude had been called to the accountable cage to go get his keys. And boy, the station manager looked stupid after that one, man. But that's so great.
I have a story on that too. But this one's actually with Derek involved again.
Okay.
Okay. This is why I learned how I do things because of this is what Derek does. Okay. Mm. And so there's a supervisor that keeps on telling me, he's like, Derek, you need to go back to your case. Go back to your case.
Oh,
and you know how the management does that all the time.
Oh yeah, of course.
People to go back.
Yeah, face your case. Put up your mail.
Right. So he went back to the case, and he sat on a chair and did absolutely nothing. Okay. Then the MCSO, is walking by. Uh-huh. Like, hey man, what are you doing?
Right. That's your boss's boss.
That's my boss's boss.
Yeah. Kind of
and he's like the postmaster in most places, but he's not. You know, he's because our city is big, so he ends up being like almost like a regional.
Right.
Semester kind of thing. But anyway, he goes, hey, man, what are you doing? Well, I'm following instruction. Following instruction? Why? Well, my supervisor told me to get back to the case. So I met the case. She told me not to leave.
Right. Don't get back to your case and don't leave your case.
So
that's awesome.
So the MCSO looked at him like all weird. And then he went to go see that supervisor.
Right.
Next thing you know, she's running back. You know what? You do whatever you got to do to get this done.
Dude.
There's nothing they can do because he's just following instruction.
I know, dude. I love those kind of stories. They're so satisfying because management will screw themselves, you know, if given the opportunity. Mm-hmm. And yeah, man, that is good stuff.
Yeah, I have more with Derek.
A more malicious compliance, dude. I love those kind of stories.
Well, this one's a little bit different.
Okay,
this one is involves a.
We gotta get Derek on the show.
Yeah, a supervisor and a carrier, and they're arguing back and forth. They're arguing back and forth. They do this almost every day.
All right.
So one day they're arguing, and they look over, and you see Derek sitting on a chair eating popcorn.
Okay.
Because he says,
they're putting on a show. Yeah.
You guys are putting on a show. I'm enjoying it. So keep going.
good stuff, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, I love things like that.
Yeah. This is the person that I learned a lot of doing the store work from.
Yeah. Yep.
He says, following instructions slows you down.
Right. Yeah. That's exactly right. Yeah. You just make more money and you can't get in trouble for it.
No.
And sometimes it can be really fun.
As long as it's not something to do with safety.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So a lot of the stupid stuff that I've done are... they break rules or it's not what I'm supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. Like, dude, I know you're not supposed to like go to the bathroom in the truck. Sometimes it's an emergency and you have to go, you know? And I know you don't ever have to, you should drive away. I know. Well, I'm not saying that I'm smart. I'm not claiming to be smart, but I will claim in this case, I was a superhero. I did something superhuman because like there are days, dude, where if I have coffee, like, and I have a soda in the morning, dude, I'm peeing like every 10 minutes. And it's out of control. And so in the distance just to get from the station to my first delivery, I had to pee. And I went like at the station. Like, dude, sometimes it's out of control. And my prostate is fine. I have the prostate of a man half my age. That is not the issue. But it's just too much liquid. And so anyway, so I go into the back of the truck, but I don't have anything to go. And the only thing I have is an Oikos yogurt cup. And those are like 5.5 ounces. And that's not going to work. That is not enough. But I think to myself, maybe if my bladder were just 5 ounces less full, then I wouldn't have a problem and I would feel better. And so I start going to the bathroom, and then, dude, this is the superhero part. I managed to pinch it off and completely pinch it off and stop. This is how I know I have the prostate of a man half my age. I pinch it off and this yogurt cup is full, but my problem is solved. Like, oh, dude, this is okay. This is, I did it.
How are you going to throw that away without spilling?
Hey, whoa, don't skip ahead. Oh, because here now nasty, I have this Alan. Full yogurt cup in my hand. And now, oh, now what am I going to do with it? And so I go to...
I'm learning to never be in Alan's vehicle. Because it sounds like his vehicle is nasty. Yeah.
So, dude, I go to get up. And sure enough, I start spilling the yogurt cup. And the pee is spilling out. And then I lose my concentration. And I pee my pants. Yeah. So anyway, I'm running for office in branch 2502.
Yeah, don't teach that to anybody, okay?
No,
tell them to go to use the bathroom.
Yeah, it was a long time
ago. Use the comfort
stop. I know better now.
Go to the bathroom.
Yes, okay. Yes, now I know better. Yeah, these are all things, you know, when you do things that are dumb, I'm not going to deny them and say like, oh, I've never done anything dumb. Of course I have.
And, but everybody, don't use Alan's vehicle.
Yeah, right, right.
It's tainted.
Dude, the ProMaster, no problem, man. That thing's clean as a whistle.
I don't know about that with Alan in it.
So, but the thing is, when you do stupid things, you know, don't deny them, learn from them. And you know, that's the idea, is I'm not going to stop doing stupid things. You can ask my wife. I do stupid things still all the time. But you try to learn and grow and get better. And maybe other people hearing the stupid thing that I did, you know, maybe they can learn from that too.
Anytime I had to go to the bathroom, I always found a place to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, that's a smarter way to...
Never have to go like right away. Right. Because I'm holding it. Never do that.
No, and the concern that carriers have is like, oh, it's going to put me behind schedule and I'm going to wind up being late getting back. No, man, that's your schedule. That's what on time is, if that's what it looks like for the day. Yeah, that's exactly right.
There.
Yeah. And if management actually tried to discipline you for going to the bathroom, that discipline ain't going to stand.
No.
I've never actually seen a carrier discipline for that. I've never really seen carriers discipline for...
Oh, you know what? I have a story on that.
Oh, dude, do tell. Okay. Well, let me finish my thought.
Okay.
Well, actually, no, that's fine. Go ahead.
So branch 2502.
Yep, that's our branch, Las Vegas.
Postmaster told people and all the managers, no more comfort stops. No more pee breaks.
But that can't be.
No more restroom breaks.
I worked here. I don't remember hearing that.
This is a while ago. Okay.
Okay.
And so the carriers, by revolting on that issue, two carriers took a piss in the truck.
Oh, sure.
And they called it in
that
saying...
That actually does sound familiar.
And then called it in saying it's not sanitary.
Right.
So the management had to come in, grab the vehicles, tow it back to the station.
Right.
And then have to get it cleaned up before they can release that truck again.
Wow.
Okay? Yeah. That's the stupid instruction the management says.
Right. Malicious compliance.
Yeah. And this is the malicious compliance that carriers did because, hey, I had to go to the bathroom. You told me not to.
We've had carriers in on-the-job instruction that have peed their pants. Mm-hmm. And like we ask them like, hey man, you know, it's comfort stop time. Do you want to go? No, I don't have to go. Or you know, they say that they don't have to go. And then they wind up peeing their pants. Like that's happened more than once during on the job instruction. Dude, that's, yeah.
But see, if you get instruction like that, you need to call the hall immediately. Let them know. So they can send a message to postmaster, whoever is higher, saying, look, they're giving instructions that it's unethical.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's unsafe.
And it's unsafe. Okay. Because then people are running to the bathroom or wherever it is, or pissing in the vehicle, which is hazardous to other people because you don't know what kind of disease they got.
Exactly.
And
it's not sanitary.
It's not sanitary, especially now with the COVID and all that stuff that's going on. Yeah. You do not want to be part of that. And so please stay clean. Alan, please
Dude,
stay clean.
Okay. Yes, I have grown. I have learned. And that's the point, right? That's what Classes in Mail is all about. It's about learning.
I have more stories.
Okay. Are you a story or a Derek story?
Huh? No, this will be my story.
Okay, go for it.
This is something that another malicious compliance kind of thing.
Oh, I like it. All right.
So now I have the same supervisor that I've been talking about.
Right.
Where she decided, instead of following me in the office, decided to follow me on the street.
Okay.
You know, because office didn't work. So now, you know, she's got to follow me on the street,
Sure.
And on the street, and I get to one box. And I get there and I deliver the mail and everything is done. I close up the box. And then I tell the supervisor, hey, I'm taking my 10-minute break.
Uh-huh.
She goes, fine. And she sits on the hood of the vehicle and crosses her arms. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then at that point, I call the hall.
Okay.
Because I'm on my breaks. So I can do whatever I want. Right. Sure. So I call the hall. And she can hear what I'm saying to the hall.
Right.
Okay? So I call the hall and say, hey, can you do me a favor and write a statement down, please? They're like, sure.
Said, okay.
I, Michael Brazemily, is seeing that the supervisor so-and-so-and-so is sitting on the hood with the vehicle running and the vehicle is not curved. Can you make sure that that statement is written down because she's violating all these safety rules?
Okay. Yeah, they have to follow the same safety rules as
exactly.
us. Oh my God, okay. That is and
awesome. As I'm saying this, she just stands up real fast and gets inside the vehicle and turns the vehicle off.
That's amazing.
Okay.
That's so good. Not, dude.
And the next box, she goes, you know what, Michael? I think I've done enough observations. So
right.
I think I'll see you back at the station when you're done.
Yeah.
And then she was gone.
Ah, dude, that's so great. Yeah.
So for all those carriers, if you see a manager doing something safety wrong, even on the street, you are able to write a statement or, in fact, request a blank copy of the 4584, the observation sheet or the safety sheet, either 4584, 4585, 4583. And it's one of those things. They're all within the one number difference, the form numbers. And you can request it and fill that out. Just say, hey, I need a safety observation form, a blank one. And they'll be like, why? Well, I need to fill one out against you because you're not following safety rules. You didn't curb your wheels. You got the vehicle running, and you park in the middle of the street. So I got a file saying that you're not being safe. Well, I'm in my own personal vehicle. Well, you're in the postal clock, so you have to follow all the safety rules. It doesn't matter if you're on your own vehicle or not.
Right. That's awesome, dude. That's so fun.
So when management try to go after you, this is how you go back at them by making sure they're following the safety rules, just like you are.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I've done similar, like this isn't a particularly funny story, but I had my previous route was way out of adjustment and I was trying to get the line of travel changed because A, it was an inefficient line of travel, but B, the case itself was all screwed up. Like all the notations on the case were from previous iterations of the route that nobody ever bothered to correct. And so you'd have like a normal street for a parking loop and it would say that you're supposed to park like seven houses in. And then do that side of the street. And then it would say park and loop again on the other side of the street. And like, it was just a mess. And so I had a fairly combative relationship with management at the time because I kept asking for overtime. They don't like it. And so I turned in my red book to change my line of travel and to fix all this stuff. And they refused it.
That would be a grievance.
All right. Well, I didn't know back then.
Yeah.
You know, I just knew that I need this done. So they refused it. And so I'm like, all right, I guess it's malicious compliance time. And so I start doing the route. I start practicing doing the route the way it's laid out on the case and like memorizing it. Because I know that on a $39.99 that you're supposed to do the route the same way you do it every day. And so the supervisor eventually gets fed up and says he's going to follow me out on the route that day. And I take my truck and I park it in the middle of the street. And then I walk five houses, deliver those, go back to the truck, drive the truck down the street, start there, walk, deliver the other side of the street, walk back to the truck, move the truck again. And like, it's a total disaster out on the street. And when he asked, what are you doing? Why are you doing it? Hey, man, this is the way it is on the case. And you guys wouldn't let me change it. I have to deliver it by the actual line of travel.
Yeah, because you guys told me not to change it.
Yeah, exactly. And so you want it done this way? This is the way it's going to get done. And after like 4 hours on the street, he just left. He's like, and then they
and
let
do,
me.
And do the line of travel change.
Yeah, they let me do the line of travel change.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude, fucking management.
Yeah. Well, so a little bit of fun stories.
Okay. All right. And then that'll probably about wrap us up.
I think I've told you this story before.
Okay.
So in Las Vegas, you know, we get the Cirque du Soleil.
Oh, okay? Yeah.
You know, they're very fit and very, you know.
Yeah, they are fit. They're attractive.
A lot of
people,
the ladies are extremely gorgeous.
Oh, okay? Yeah. No question.
Okay. A lot of French people, a lot of Canadians and Australians. Anyway, I went to go deliver some express mail one day in the industrial area.
Okay.
And walked in, and I saw a bunch of naked ladies.
Oh, that's awesome.
From Cirque du Soleil.
Fuck, man, that has never happened to me ever in it was 20 years.
It was their changing day to fit customs.
Oh, oh my God.
Dude. And I'm walking on, and these ladies didn't give a crap that I was there. And they're, and then the front office lady or wherever she was, she goes, you know what? Give me a minute. I gotta, I'll be right with you. I said, take your time.
Yeah, right. Oh my God, dude. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I was down at the strip post office, I would deliver to the strip clubs, but most of them had mailboxes outside, mm-hmm. which was a bummer. And I used to tell this joke in the Carrier Academy. The Carrier Academy still has MSPs in the academy, which is ridiculous. But I used to like it when it was still valid because I would tell this joke about when you're looking for MSP managed service points. For those of you who are new, there used to be these barcodes all spread out along the route, and you'd have to scan the barcode as you got to it. And that's how management knew like how long the legs of your route would take. And so anyway, the MSPs were usually pretty easy to find because if it's in like an individual mailbox, there's only so many places it can be. But if it's at a business, it could be anywhere. And one time I was delivering to a school and they have their little mail thing at the front desk and I'm looking around to try to find this MSP and the receptionist finally says, are you looking for that beep beep thing? I said, yes, I am. And she points to the underside of the desk. And so I had to like crawl down and get under the desk to scan this MSP. And I said, why in the world, when I saw the regular carry, why is it there? And he says, because anywhere else I put it, the kids would peel it off.
Oh, yeah.
And it would always go missing. And so I would tell this story and then I would be like, yeah, man. And I remember once when I was at the strip, we had a MSP at Spearmint Rhino, which is a famous strip club here in Vegas. And man, I looked everywhere for that thing. I looked up by the stage. I looked on the pole. I looked in the champagne room. It turned out it was outside on the mailbox.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, I guess a little story from Derek.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll be quick.
All right. And then that, and this so, is it, the last one.
So Derek, when he was like 19 years old, he started early in his career.
Oh, wow.
Okay, 19 years old. And he's delivering mail. And he was delivering to one of the strip clubs. Okay.
All right.
Now remember, he's underage. This is 21 and over strip club.
Oh, yeah, that's okay? True.
Because he's a mail carrier, he can go inside and deliver the mail.
Sure, it's official duty.
Yeah, because it's park and loop, so you have to deliver it inside the mail.
Right, it's door to door, yeah.
So not only that, this strip club also offers a lunch buffet.
Oh, for free. Dude. Yeah.
That was the thing they were offering for free, as long as you came to the strip club to put dollars in the strip club.
All the time strippers. I worked at strip post office, I never did that.
Yeah. So they offered him, say, hey, man, you want to stay or have some lunch? He's like, sure. So he sat there with lunch and watched the girls.
Yeah,
that was his lunch break.
That's the move, man. Yeah, that's the way to do it. You know what I remember most? Because you go in at 11 in the morning, and it ain't the A-team in there at 11 in the morning.
True.
What I remember most from those times is the smell that all those strip clubs have the
same. Like, I never had those routes myself. Yeah. This is the story coming from Derek.
Right.
So he never told me about any smell or anything like that. He thought it was so awesome being 19 years
old. Yeah, you don't say.
And then a strip club, watch the girls and eat free lunch.
Okay, I'm going to take us home. This is the last story and then we're done. Because I have
many stories.
Yeah, like that stuff has never happened to me. But I did have one time a person answered the door naked.
I've had a couple times.
Yeah, but for you, it's been a positive experience.
Yes.
For me, I cannot tell you definitively whether this person was male or female because big floppy folds are just big floppy piles of fat.
You didn't want to hold up the fold to check?
Well, so up top, above the waist folds, it was hard to tell.
And you can't even tell the breast.
Yeah,
if it was a man's or a woman's?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And then the bottoms, I can't tell you for sure whether the person had underwear on because of the flop over, cover, like Peter Griffin, right? It's all covered up. So that's who I get to answer the door naked, is that person.
Mine was a young lady that came in a towel to sign a registered item. And accidentally the towel came off.
Oh.
And then I went back to the truck and found out I had another registered mail for the same address.
Yeah.
So I went back and rang the doorbell. This time a different girl comes out with a towel and she drops her towel. I think they might have done it on purpose.
It's got to be a setup, yeah.
Okay. But either way, that's what happened.
Yeah.
And then another one was in Sun City, which is
old people,
retirement community. So I go in to drop a package off in behind the gate because you have to open their gate to get in, and they have a tall gate so nobody can see inside.
Right.
Well,
I know that I can open the door and just drop a box inside. So I went in, and there's a young lady who's probably like 18, 19 years old, sunbathing, completely naked.
Oh, my God.
And I go, whoa, Michael. I'm sorry. She goes, no, no, just leave your package right there. I'm like, okay.
Oh,
and
finally,
there was a granddaughter that's sunbathing.
Dude.
Because the sun was coming in that
side. I had a really attractive Thai woman answer the door. It was when I was a T6. So I was filling in on a route. And she's naked and just wearing like she took like a couch cushion and put that in front of her, and really good looking, and, you know, just covering up with this couch cushion. And she did a good job of keeping herself covered, but it was still really sexy. So the next day, the regular carrier comes in, and I'm telling him what happened. And he goes, hey, was that apartment like 1305? I'm like, yeah, how did you know? He goes, dude, those are lady boys.
Yeah. Well, my steward at the time,
right,
at the same station. I was a CC at the time.
Yeah.
So me, I'm bragging. I'm like, wow, look what happened to me.
Yeah, right.
And so the steward at the time, he goes, man, how lucky are you? I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, every time I go in, it'll be some older Sun City sunbathing naked. I go, whoa.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
He said, that's all I get. I'm like,
that's fair. Like, I'm not even counting all the times that I've seen naked old man ass. Right. That's all right. I don't want to think all about right, that
let's
anymore.
Yeah, let's
wrap
it
up. Guys, thanks for having a more enjoyable episode with us. Again, please vote wherever your branch elections are.
Actually, if you guys give any some of these funny stories, might as well
send them in.
Send them in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Classesmail@gmail.com.
Yep.
At gmail.com. And then maybe we can talk about these stories and read
In addition to like sending in your questions for the mailbag. Dude, I would love to hear your fun stories about stuff that happened out on the route. Yep. All right, guys. Thank you very much for listening. And we will catch you all next time.